Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings. Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us today. If, perchance, you're joining us for the first time, this show is sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, which is a research arm of a nonprofit started in Nashville, Tennessee, 1998, BFC Missions Incorporated, or Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated. The intention is to maintain national dialogue relative to issues that are directly affecting African-American male youth across urban America. And our intention is to provide you with substantive dialogue and factual information that will help remedy many of the social ills that we find prevalent in America today. While we are based in Nashville, Tennessee, again, this podcast platform allows us to engage listeners like you across the United States and indeed beyond. So feel free to give us a call here live in the studio at 657-383-0944. That's 657-383-0944. Let me apologize ahead of time for a little cold here. We've been moving and traveling and somehow the change in weather seemed to have affected our allergies and the cold here is coming on, but nonetheless, we're here, okay? Thank you to our Facebook friends who are following us perhaps live via live stream. You can also share with us by just entering your question or comment in the Facebook app there. Again, give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Look forward to having Pastor Ricky Waller come on with us again, as well as our regular listeners and you. If this is your first time, no hesitation. We welcome and honor everyone's comments and questions. All I ask is that you, sometimes we don't always agree, and you may not agree with me. That's perfectly fine. We just ask that we show courtesy and due respect to one another. I think if we do that, we can go a long way. All right. Having said that, we're going to get into our monologue here very shortly, and it's not a very long monologue, but that will bring us into the conversation. A community is the place where everybody should feel safe and prosperous. In the community, certain guarantees are expected. Quality education, economic growth, social mobility, and unity among brethren. In the absence of the latter trait, any group of people are subject to implode or self-destruct. The foundation of a neighborhood is the strength of the family units within it. And that's really where we're going to speak tonight. I want you to consider this. Now, I want you to picture, if you will, this imagery. There is a mother who is praying hard. Behind her is her husband blocking the world from crushing her children. The husband is doing everything he can to keep the world negatively impacted. The daughter clutches her arms around mother's waist, and the little son points up with happiness and glee toward the efforts of his father to keep them safe. Can you see it? Can you imagine what that is like? This is August 30th, and we're speaking from the topic, how to clean up a community. Throwing out the garbage. That's our topic tonight. Now, this is in many ways a segue from Tuesday night's conversation, but just stay with us. And again, I don't want anyone to feel as though they're indicted or this is personally directed toward them. It's what we have experienced in the Afro-American experience, particularly across urban America. And my belief is the more we deal with these, the more honest we are about them, the better we can improve the quality of life for the current generation who seem to be having it rough and struggling, all right? And this is why we focus our attention on urban American issues and the youth that are in them. I love grown folk too, but you know, guess what? You're going to have to go and get out the way because the babies need somebody to make a way for them. Amen? All right, I didn't come to preach, but I know I'm right about it. All right, so having said that, we're talking about how to clean up a community. Throwing out the garbage. All right. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 14th verse reads, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men." Talk about the community in the context of family and how that plays into what a community is. All right? And then for the next few minutes of this brief monologue, I'd like to explain to you or offer you 5 types of community members. Okay? 5 types of community members. We seem to have a misunderstanding, particularly in the Afro-American subgroup, about what a community is. We're constantly claiming the black community and what we don't have and what we're missing and what others are doing to the black community. Well, I would offer and argue that if you owned it, can't nobody do nothing to you or with you if you own it. Now, if you are just there, that's another story. Okay, I'm going to get into it. Let me not get ahead of myself. Let's talk about, first of all, the family unit. Because as I said earlier, the bedrock or the building block of any community are the families that are within it, okay? That's where the individuals come from that you see on the street. Family unit. It's a basic social unit that consists of a father, a mother, and their children. Now, I already hear what somebody is saying. That ain't the way it is today. And that's the old folky way. Just stay with me. Father, mother, and their children. Dwelling either together. Sometimes they grow older, the children go on and move on, or they're not. But this is the traditional family unit. Huh? That's the traditional family unit. Now, let's talk about how things have evolved 2018. It's also defined as a social unit consisting of one or more adults with the children that they care for. Not necessarily their children, but somebody's children that they're caring for. Are you walking with me? Also, a single family, a parent unit, is also included in that definition. The latter is the building block, however. Irregardless of what it's made of, it is the quintessential building block of a neighborhood or a community. So what you see and what you get out of it is directly related to those families, their dichotomy, their structure, their strength, their weakness. Okay? These babies didn't just pop out the air. A stork didn't drop them in the street. They come from somewhere. And it is these family units that they come from. Good, as we're pointing to, let's talk about these units in the context of what a community is. If you want to say the black community, you can say the Asian community, you can say the white community, you can say the German community, Italian community, whatever it is. It's a group of people. Watch this. It is a group of people, though, who live in the same place, and they share particular characteristics in common. Yeah. Certain cultural or subcultural characteristics, or even certain religious characteristics or social values. But one thing that all of them have in common, they behave and think the same. Let's talk about in the black community. What is it that is consistent in the black community, particularly in urban America? What we see too often is the breakdown of the family unit. Now, I asked the question on Tuesday night, why is it that it seems that for boys, they were more at risk to self-destruction than females and girls? And we had some interesting response. But the truth of the matter is, my answer was that there is a tendency, particularly in the black family, to focus on rearing girls and giving them everything they need to survive and to get by. And even in the greater society, there are resources set aside for them. As opposed to males, there's an expectation that they're supposed to grow up, become 18, have it all together, and know how to be a responsible individual contributing to society. Right? So what happens too often, though, is to prevent from hurting their feelings or crushing them, they're pacified at home, in the schools, in other social arenas, and they never learn to deal with disappointment and to grow and develop beyond that. Okay? All right? So we're talking about cleaning up communities, and particularly those communities that are self, that we see too much self-destruction in. One of the first steps we know now is that these communities have people that are from families or subgroups that make them up, make up the neighborhood. And within the number of neighborhoods or blocks, you have this one community. Who owns that community? All right? Let me talk about the types of community right quickly, and then we're going to Willie Hutch is going to help me a little bit tonight, and then we're going to open up our phone lines. Five types of community members, people who share same interests, passion with their neighbors. This allows them to get along with one another, good or bad. Then you got people who actively participate in protecting and continuing the values of that shared community of people, those families. They're not passive, they actively engage in that. Then you have people who are merely brought together because they live in a geographic location. We don't know each other and oftentimes don't like each other, don't even care about one another. We're just there because that's the only place we can be. Then you have people who are intentionally, I said intentionally, they do this by intention, connected by either a shared religious principle, social or economic activity. In other words, you talk about rich people. Well, people who have worked and have developed themselves and gained certain wealth and what have you, there are certain values that they want to protect and pass on to their children. So what they do is they invest in a common community. Oftentimes we see these as gated communities. Yes, believe it or not, they're even Afro-American or Negro, Black, and Colored folk who do the same thing. Okay? But then on the other side, on the flip side of that coin, you have environments where people are in poverty, so they don't have a choice as to what school they go to. They have little choice as to how much violence they're exposed to. They have little to no choice about the social environment and what goes on there and the effect it has on their children. At the end of the day, though, at the end of the day, those children are affected by it. They grow up, and the parents as well, and that's how we, that's what we see from them in their natural environment is the result of such. All right? Now, right quickly, Brother Hutch, this song was back in the 70s, and it was the theme song for a movie called The Mac. Well, he made a good point, and I think Pastor Wallace with me. And I'm going to ask him, of course, as soon as I get off of Hutch, because I think, I'm going to pose a question before I get through that. If Dockery, and Dockery is the only fathead rascal that's causing trouble and making things bad for everybody, what you do with them? What you do? Listen, Brother Hutch, just for a few minutes.
Hey, man, don't you realize in order for us to make this thing work, man, we've got to get rid of the pimps and the pushes and the prostitutes and get started all over again clean. You know, nobody's pushing me anyway, okay? I mean, not you, not the cops, nobody. I mean, you want to get rid of the pushes, I'll help you. But don't send your people after me. John, you see that we can't get rid of one, we're not going to get rid of the other. We got to come down on both of them at the same time for this whole thing to work for people. Nobody wants to be on the market. Let us go and fuck it up. Let's 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 go and fuck it up.
You're listening to Talk Straight with your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're going to work this out tonight. Yes, sir, we're going to work this here thing out. We loaded in the house tonight. And I asked the question, Pastor Wallace, Rick Beatty, sir, how you doing?
Hey, Mom. All right, how you doing, Pastor Dockery?
All right, come get me now, I'm about to get loose. So 8112, how you doing, darling?
I'm fine, honey, how are you guys?
Good, 1098. Don't let me get off track, 1098. How you doing, sir?
I'm okay.
hey,
I'm
ready to
rock.
This out, man. Yeah, we about to work this out.
To rock.
We got to work this out. We look like we lost 37-2. Perhaps she'll come back to us then. Pastor Wallace. Now,
yes, sir.
Now, everybody want to do right in the community but me because I'm making money, man. I mean, I got that. I'm making that money, man. You understand what I'm saying? What you do with me?
Well, we just keep watching you. See how long I mean, that's what I would do. Me, I'm only recalling about watching money makers making money, and it became attractive. So it's about what comes from your making money. I hear the song, Brothers Gonna Work It Out. Don't give me no peace sign if you don't mean it in your heart. From your heart.
Not from your heart, man. Not from your heart.
Yeah, you know, and instead united that we can get over.
But the thing is,
that's togetherness, it sounds like to me. So if I'm watching you as you get money, and then I soon discover you're getting money is causing corruption in the community, I don't know how that's working it out, but I mean, is it for the good or the bad? You know, so I got to make sure I can watch it and find out.
For the good of
okay,
them and the bad of the mother.
What'd you say, 8112?
The good for them and the bad for some mother. They know the lit.
Right,
okay.
Right. Well, let me ask Outkast this. Outkast, is it reasonable for me to expect you to zip your lip when you know I'm causing trouble and mayhem in our community, man? Because we tight, man. You're my partner, man. We grew up together. Is it reasonable for me to expect you not to say nothing or do nothing?
Yeah, well, you know, as being my brother, you know, I mean, I have to respect you. And if it don't cost the life of my mother, in the end, I'm going to have to catch that Greyhound bus and gone on. That pretty Tony already gone. You know what I'm saying? Pretty Tony already got knocked off. So, you know what I'm saying? He had gone on catch that bus. You know, that Greyhound had gone on, let your brother have it.
So you said you're going to leave and just let them tear up the place, man? Did I hear you right?
No. I'm talking about if I was in the position that Goldie was in and I was dealing with my brother. My brother told me you can't get rid of one without getting rid of the other. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then, too, you know, in that, you know, Mom ended up getting killed, you know, pretty tall, you know, he all right, you know, but... Goldie went on to call that Greyhound like I did. Get on up out of Dodge, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying let them clean that thing on up. Vigilante force.
You're not advocating bumping brothers off, are you now? Come on, man. I know you ain't saying that.
Yeah. Well, now you know, like his brother was hog tying him and everything else. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Trying to clean up the neighborhood. You know, bro wasn't playing.
Bro
ended up choking him out anyway.
Well, I'm laughing, but I'm laughing to keep from crying because 3072, okay. The truth is, even 2018, that's where we are today, man. Brothers and sisters, we're there where there are good, well-meaning people who are literally afraid to say anything to, and you love them now. You say, that's my brother from another mother, right? You love them, right? But look here, don't throw your hand up, you don't mean it. You know what I'm saying? Give me the peace sign. You know, come on now. Quit playing with me. Huh, Pastor Waller?
Yeah, you got to keep this in mind, too. Now, I want you to know, Pastor, it's interesting that you were saying, what do I do after I see the brother making the money? He's clocking the dollars, you know, and it's attractive. And then if I join in versus just watching to see going to bring forth. I mean, it's one thing if I join in and then I'm adding to the problem and then I find out later on that I was and I am adding to the problem, which you see I'm coming from when I say this. Being that I know how hard it is to just stop, put it down, then by getting in the game, I'd be a hypocrite if I tell somebody, look, man, you got to stop doing that. You understand what I was doing myself, you see? So I had to find another way to go about it, to let them know and to share with them and to encourage them to bring something different to the table and say, look, man, I was in a trap. I mean, that's the only avenue I could go. You know, I mean, as much as I would like to tell that brothers on the block, look here, man, y'all got it right now, no more slanging on the block. I would love to do that, but it'd be hypocritical if I'd done that. Because, I'm the main enemy of a community and corrupted it. How I'm going to go back in there and say, well, since I stopped, all y'all going to stop.
Hold on, Pastor. That's what I love about you today, man. That's what I love about you today. That's what I perceive you being. You can tell, you know how to tell a cat to stop because you know what it's like to stop. You understand what I'm saying? And maybe he don't understand. Maybe he doesn't understand that to the degree he's being destructive to all of us. Nobody want to see him die, want to see him without. But guess what? We can't, like he said in the song, we can't fix this unless we're all on one accord.
That's
Won't be able to work it out unless we clean the house, you know?
That's right. Yeah, the solution is there. You know, we need to learn to apply it and make it work for the people that are there that's caught up, and make it interesting. Make it interesting to get to you. You understand? Make them interested to see you clock the dollars, and they join in with it. Make them interested in knowing how to get free from it, so we can learn how to be together, stand together. You understand? And see how to do a whole lot more that we can do together by way of being in the same accord. Because being scattered, man, and then you cause a lot of conflict.
Right. Pastor, we got two callers joined us. Out of, look like, Selma, 3122. Welcome to the show.
Praise All God. Right, how you doing?
Mighty fine. And also, look like from Nashville, we got 0390. Welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doc Rick. We're talking from the topic, how to clean up a community, throwing out the garbage. How you doing, caller?
Doing real good, young man. How about yourself, Doc?
Man, I'm still fat and ugly, but God is good all the time.
Amen. Amen.
Any questions coming in so far?
Say it again, young man.
Question or comment so far?
Well, you know, I'm gonna say this, and I'm always doing motivational videos. You can actually catch me on our Instagram as well as Facebook, Don Rich, underscore 42. But my biggest thing is, you know, if you had, let's just say, 10 black men in a month's time, $25, it doesn't take much, $25 a month, 10, at 25, you do the math, okay? All right. So after that 10, with the 25 a month, let's see how much money we have at the end of the year. Multiply that, bring more people to the table. Do contracts. Let's do everything legal the way we actually need. They do everything on paper. Why can't we do everything on paper?
Right.
You know, we have just as much, how can I say it, the resources. We have doctors. We have shows like this, Doc, where entrepreneurs like myself can reach out and actually voice my opinion, especially here from Nashville, Tennessee, because, you know, it'll actually get, you know, I hear people say it'll actually get worse before it'll get better. Well, I don't think so. I think it's already better. We just have to be able to continue to tap and have our resources that we need to teach our young people, such as groups, mentoring groups in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, you have Ladies of Unique. You have some other groups, Brothers with a Purpose, BWAP. It's some other groups here in Nashville, Tennessee, that are doing other things for the youth as well. Those are just to name a couple, we just have to continue to come together. Things happen. Even if it was 100 families at $5 a month.
Right. Okay. All right.
It's something.
All right. Hold that thought. Let me go to the ladies. They've been a little quiet on me. And that, when they get quiet, I get nervous because I know they got something to say. What about 3072? What talk to me, 3072. What do you think about this conversation? You're talking about cleaning up the community and throwing out the garbage. Y'all do believe we got some garbage in our community, don't you, to be gotten rid of? 3072, you there? Okay. 8112, what about it?
Okay.
8112, you there?
Yes, I'm here, sir. You asked me, what do I think about the garbage?
The conversation in general, and as related to throwing out the garbage in our community.
Okay. It takes me back to, remember this one show where all the Black Panthers took over and they took the neighborhood back? That was beautiful. I think they took it back from the young people, but what you're talking about, reinstilling something that's going to take a while to get back instilled in the young people, that they have been, some of them, not all, have been stripped out because some of them just doing it for the heck of it.
Well, yeah.
And their
true.
Reputation for being this big time, whatever they call themselves. So,
yeah, right.
I don't have a whole lot of answers because certain problems, when you're not faced with them, you can go around the block and we can talk all we want to. It's going to take a whole lot of work as far as I'm concerned. It's not going to be a test because we're older now and they're not really particularly wanting to listen to us. I think it would take the younger generation around the age bracket and even younger. They may pay attention to them. But trying to get them and put a rope around, not their neck, their heart, is a horse of another color.
Okay, okay, okay. Interesting. All right. 372, are you back? I'll get you then. Can you hear a 372? All right. Well, let's keep it moving. Let's go. Don, what do you say about it, man? You what you heard thus far. We're talking about how to clean up a community, man. Hold on 1 second. I'm suggesting, Don, we got to throw some garbage out. We got some trash to get rid of. Go ahead, Don.
I agree. Mr. Dockery, since the last time I talked to you, you know Uncle Ed passed.
Right.
And Shirley, my oldest first cousin, passed.
Okay.
And I was going to tell you, after they passed, I experienced some stuff spiritually. I seen Kayla and the grandbabies up there in Nashville. When I say I seen them, I talked to them over the telephone. And she's homeschooling the children. We've been talking. And God's been good, Mr. Dockery. I mean, he's real good to me. I ain't going to tell you. I'm going to tell none of you no lie. He's like, boom.
All right.
And what the lady just said a while ago, I kind of disagree with you because there's a young lady coming seeing me right now, real young. And she's talking about developing herself. And what I'm going to say to the older generation, we have to show them positive. We have to walk positive. And the more we walk positive and show them positive, the more they were listening to us.
But
we have to walk and show them positive.
Yeah.
Isn't that what I've been saying the whole time I've been speaking?
So
I didn't hear you say
that. And Mr. Dockery, I was going to say this to you, throwing out the dirt. I want y'all in Nashville to really listen to me. There's a company down here by the name of Rayco. They came on the front page of the Selma Time Journal, and it wasn't nothing but a bunch of good old boys, and they doing construction. And they got contracts in several states. So I'm from the Nashville area, and I just left Nashville, and I was really shocked to see what I seen. Being here in Selma, as a Democratic congressman there and one up there, I'm really shocked, and I'm shocked from the standpoint is, how do they get all the economics, and we are left out? And why are we left out?
You ready? I'm from Nashville. This is Brother Rich. I've been on the Dr. Show several times, and here you go, young man. We have to separate the niggas from the blacks, okay? I know you're thinking, what do you mean? Well, you don't only have niggas in the hood, but you got them downtown, okay? So when you're downtown and you're willing to sell your soul to get them black folks put out over on Jefferson so that I'm not going to say any pastor's name because I don't do that. I don't do names. But wait a minute. What I will do is tell you, if you go to Don Rich, _42 or 43. Anybody knows me in Nashville, Tennessee, will let you know. I speak my mind. It is what it is. Now, the whole Democrat and Republican, if you really want to go any deeper, young man, I have respect for you. I've never met you. The Democrats and Republicans, they're working together. You know it. I'm not saying, young man, wait
a
minute. I'm not saying that you're a dirty person. No, it's just in Nashville, Tennessee, from what I've seen, and you know you've seen too, that during the riots in South Nashville, my mother-in-law, once again, I don't do names, the Trimble Bottoms, you don't have that in Nashville no more. You know why? Because the majority of the young people that you talk about, they're scared. They don't want to listen. So what do they do?
Hold on, they actually go according to plan to what how the book has been set.
Can I say something?
Which is a bunch of lies. Yes, sir.
Hold on, Brother Rich. Hold on 1 second. Hold on, Brother Rich.
Yes, sir.
Is that you, Lewis? Lewis, is that you?
This is Adam, his brother.
Okay, go ahead, Adam.
I just want to speak on a young person's stand of view and everything. I reached out to the old school. You know, I'm very, I like to listen. I like to learn and everything like that. But
yes, sir.
At the same time, from my point of view, it's hard to listen to these older folks because a lot of them bitter from past experiences and everything, and that kind of breaks off on us to the point that it's become argumentative because so much damage been done on their end, and we try to get our stuff together. To the point that you better all try to figure this thing out by yourself sometimes, and you just shooting your shot in the dark. Make it.
I see.
So I just wanted to add that up in there, though. It ain't that the young folks ain't trying to reach out to the old school. The old school, some of them, it's bitter. Like, do you wake up and really enjoy every day that you done rose?
Right.
You continue that with your presence as you interact and be fellowshipping with these people out here and the young folk and everything. Because I get looked at a lot of sideways, and I feel like I'm a positive brother all the way around. And I try to have a decent conversation with folks, and I get shot down a lot of times, but that don't stop me from reaching out.
I see what
you're saying. And being humble.
You know, let me say this. Excuse me, I have a slight little cold here. But you're absolutely right, and I learned that a couple of years ago more directly when I was running for a council seat in my city here. And we had a barber. We had invited these cats from the hood, from the street, right, and told them, look, just come and lay it on the floor, whatever's on your heart. And them little brothers did that, man. They came in their heart. And do you know, and I'm a preacher, and excuse me, running for a political office, he got me straight, man. He got me straight. And he said exactly what you're saying, and that is that it's not that we don't have an idea, not that we have hopes and have and dream, but the old folk are full of, and I'm not going to use the language he used. Basically, he said, we dropped the ball. So I appreciate what you're saying. Now, how do we, you tell me, what is the best way, if I wanted to put your hands to a shovel, to a plow, put some gloves on, get some garbage bags, clean up our community, throw the trash out, what's the best way to put you to work? Tell me that right quick.
Best way to put me to work is to listen to me and actually make me feel like I'm involved instead of being a do-boy and being forced to do what I was told to do, like this is what we're going to do for you to be a part of this organization and contribute to your society and be a good citizen and whatnot. First hear me out and hear me cry, and then after I get all that off my chest, maybe I'll be willing to pick up some more weight on my shoulders and be that upstanding Samaritan.
I got you. I got you.
That's deep.
What do you think about that, Pastor?
Voice our opinions and our frustrations out long enough to be heard, at least to our standpoint.
I hear you. Point. You know what? Point well taken. Pastor Wallace going to respond to you. Hold on 1 second. Pastor Wallace going to respond. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, anytime I hear a young brother speak, it only gives me a chance to recall when I was young. And it's understandable that when you're young, inexperienced, you're full of fluid, and you're always ready to do it, whatever it is, whether good or bad. And that's what I've always done. I've paid attention to wisdom, whether it was wisdom from the streets or wisdom to lead me into some college or some profession.
Okay.
Anything like that, but the bottom line is that I had to be open to, first of all, listen. And once I was able to do that, I discovered in my paying attention, you know, I got caught in a trap by looking and listening to those who were older than I. Now, not to mention, in my book, I wrote about there was two sides of people. It was two types of people that I was listening to. One was in the street, and then there was another group of people that had a job. But I went the route of the people who was in the streets. You see, it wasn't like it wasn't no positive influence there, because it was. It's just that the things that I saw that others were doing was much stronger because it was getting it right there and right there. So I love what the young brother is saying. It's just about which route are you going to go? Because you may have someone that's 20 years of age, and then you may have two groups of people that may be 50.
Hold your thought. Don't lose your thought. Let him finish. We'll come right back to you, okay? Hold your thought. Go ahead,
one is highly intelligent, you know, going to college, working a fine job and things like that, and he's at the age of 50. And then you got another group that's getting that bankroll right here and right now, and the power of what's going on right here right now may influence the young brother to take that route. So what we do need is good examples. Both of our examples, but it's just which example are we going to follow? And that's why I say choose you this day who you will serve. But it's always good to listen because you never know, you know, who haven't had that experience that's only willing to share it if you're willing to listen. And it's like Mercedes, I'm going to turn it back over. Young people that's dealing with young people, some of them have to join into the game by following the instructions of the young people. That's the same age that they are. The only way they can enter into this game is that they got to follow the order, which may not be a good order, you know. But nevertheless, I love the fact that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, man. You know, just stay open for information. That's what I would encourage you to do.
All right. He want to respond to you. Go ahead, Go ahead, little brother.
Yeah, this is what I wanted to say, too. I totally agree with you. I done seen both lights, too. But the thing I can tell you about the workforce, older gentlemen, they a little harder than you on them drug dealers, though. The drug dealers going to need somebody, and them pimps going to need somebody to do they do boy work, though. These old men that's retiring and want you to get in the workforce, you're going to have to earn your spot with them, though. They just ain't going to recruit anybody, though. You know what I'm saying? On that note. So you're going to have to take a little bit more. You're going to have to feel the pressure like they felt the pressure. That's how they got that jeopardy in and that experience and them years in a position is working in the workforce instead of hustling and getting by and making ends meet like the other guys because they come in and out the game. You know what I'm saying? These dudes is dedicated and been there. They already proved, they already established type of thing.
Let me say this, gentlemen. Let's understand something. When the father figure was systematically run out of the home, we lost any real chance of maintaining community and unity in our family. Okay? Now I understand the plight of women who struggle and do their best to try to wear two hats. But the reality is, the way the Creator made it was that the father was supposed to be there. Now, if we're going to clean up the community, one of the first things we're going to have to do is to revitalize the role and the figure and the place of fathers within the community. Are y'all walking with me? All this other stuff is smoke-filled coffee talk. You understand? Because when the father looks his boy or girl in the eye and tell him, I love you and I'm the closest thing you're going to get to God until you learn about him for yourself, guess what? Ain't no devil in hell or anybody on the block can take that child away from that teacher. That's what
I'm saying. I'm a father of four, too. So I definitely get knowledge from what y'all are saying now. I understand, too. Like, it's more easy to talk to them guys out there it's easier to talk to them guys out there on the corner than it is to talk to the guy that got all these responsibilities and actually trying to push on. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, I think I understand what you're saying.
So, you know what I'm saying? If I go to work 5 days a week, and I ain't really got too much time to be shooting a breeze, which I'm going to keep it short and simple.
Right.
If I'm hanging out all day, I'm gonna make you feel real comfortable. You need to be here too, type of situation.
Right.
Well, this is the point that was made previously. I agree with it, and I've made it many times myself, but I think of Brother Richard. And that is that when we pool our resources together and we have a common interest, what is that common interest? That we're going to educate our people. We're going to strengthen our people, and we're going to be one in everything we say and do. You know, that's a force to be reckoned with right there. And look, little brother, when you're at work,
your neighbor is looking out for your family and vice versa. You follow what I'm saying? But right now, we're one of those five types of communities that I described earlier where you just got people who live on the block and they don't care about nothing or nobody but their own interests. You ask yourself, how did they get here? How did they get here? Well, oftentimes, as the brother was saying, government sets it up to where people of a certain income level can only live in certain places, and that's with among one another. Talking about affordable housing, they need to quit lying to people. Affordable housing is simply what you can afford. Now, if you're going to help me get affordable, help me upgrade my income, then I can determine what house I live in.
Yeah.
I mean, then let's put it on where the sweet is. Quit playing games
with people.
Quit playing games with people. The truth of the matter is, until a man is able, you know how it is when a baby first learns how to walk? They stumble, don't they? And every now and then they fall. But when they learn how to, they learn from the falling, they get back up, then they learn to steady themselves, balance themselves, and guess what? They're walking. When they get through walking, they take off and running.
I like
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
and
it.
That's what we have to do. We have to tell young brothers, what's Louis' brother's name? What's your name again?
My name is
Adam.
Yes.
Adam. Adam, what we have to tell young brothers is, I'm not coming at you because I'm trying to dog you out or denigrate you. I'm coming at you because I know what's best for you. I know what's best for you. And if you embrace what we're saying, we can all come up together. Ain't none of us got to fall.
That's
brothers
it.
Can.
That's
I
it.
Hear that.
And
that
brothers will work it out.
Where I'm coming from, though, you know, I might come different looks, different demeanors and everything because life is it hits you full effect. We all know this.
Sure.
So if I seem a little fatigued, you don't tell me to keep going hard, and I might just croak over. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
hey, you know what else,
you know
little
what
brother? Little brothers. Hey, little brother from Nashville, Tennessee, let me also tell you. This is something that I always say at the end of my videos. As well, I try to do it as well as with my conversations. But I don't know you, young man, and you don't know me. But I have more respect for you then I've seen a lot of grown men wearing their pants off their behind. So let me tell you this. I love you. It's nothing you can do about it. And
right.
I'm telling you, bro, I'm not taking it back. I'm telling you, I love you. It's nothing you can do about it, and I ain't taking it back. I'm telling you.
All right.
That's another major thing that we don't, you know, we've got in our heads that if I tell her, if an OG or someone older tells a young person, that's trying, like yourself, young man. You're already an entrepreneur. You don't have to wait. Use your tools. Use what God gave you right now, young man,
right.
Which is your voice.
Right.
Don't wait. Don't wait until tomorrow. As soon as you get off this conference call, have your own. I don't care if it's two people show up. You do a live conference call tonight. Never wait till tomorrow. You know why, young man? Tomorrow ain't promising for none of us. This on this chat thing right now, that the doc is actually just, you know, God shining through him and through the pastor and the other ladies and gentlemen that's on the phone. So I think it's we should be a battery to you, negative and positive.
Yeah.
But here's
absolutely.
The one thing, young man. A lot of us don't want to hear that negative, but it's you have to have a negative and a positive in order to go. So by you staying. Or seeing a lot of negative turn into a positive, young man, and I guarantee you, you'll be where you be. Just continue to keep your eyes on the prize, which is God. Has nothing to do with me, none
that.
Of the people on the line, you. It's all about him. Just continue to follow your heart, young brother. And like I said, I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. And I mean that for everybody else that's on this phone.
I love you, too.
All right, appreciate that.
I'm making decent money right now. I'm working two jobs, you know what I'm saying? And
okay.
That ain't,
that's beautiful.
I'm leading by example, though, and I believe that,
sure.
Like, what y'all doing, y'all paying it forward, and I'm taking that, and I'm paying my side for it, too, on my
sure.
end of the bargain.
Now,
we all deserve a chance to learn.
Hold
it's
on.
Just who
can
hold
I
on
ask
second.
Something?
Is that you, 3072?
Yeah.
Where you been? We've been calling on you, but. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been on here. Adam, so I'm especially proud of you. But you said something earlier that stuck with me about like a respect thing. how the old heads are expecting that. I don't think it's nothing wrong with, you know, them just wanting a little bit of respect, especially for their plight or the things that they went through. They've struggled and all of that other stuff, just like you guys shouldn't go unnoticed. That definitely shouldn't go unnoticed. You work in two jobs. That's respectful. I got the high, none but the highest respect for you. So I think that should be a two-way street, and that's the first step, I think, to things getting better is having respect.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. All right, let me do this. You're listening to Talk Straight if you're just tuning in to us, and we're talking from the topic, how to clean up the community, throwing out the garbage. I realize that for some people, that may be a little uncomfortable to think that in our community there's some garbage. But guess what? It may have come to the community with good use and intention and purpose, but at some point it becomes trash, and you got to get rid of it. Otherwise, it starts smelling, and it starts to breed germs and disease and everything else. So we got to rid ourselves of those things that hurt us. We've been to Brother Adam out of Peoria, Illinois. Appreciate him sharing his story with us there, and as well as Brother Richardson. Now, let me say something. I want to, if I could, just for a second, I want to emphasize one of those types of people that you find in communities. And Brother Richardson made a great point, and that is that there should always be a drive to invest in not only you, but those coming behind you. Great point. But we have those individuals who are forced. And do you know that that is the meaning of a ghetto? It's an environment where people are forced to live with one another by socioeconomic factors. And they don't necessarily like each other. We see this happening oftentimes when they shift populations in public schools, particularly in larger urban cities. Well, you have gangs that live on one side of town, right? And then on the other side of town is another gang. When they force them to go to the same schools, all of a sudden you see a rise in crime and violence and things of that nature. Do they really care about that? But more importantly, what are we, those of us who are stakeholders in our community, how is it that we're applying ourselves to deal with that? So how do you control your community? That's the question I want somebody to help me understand, like I'm 3 years old. If you live in a community, do you own it? And if so, how do you control it? Anybody, help me, Holy Ghost.
Well, you can go back to the neighborhood watches. I mean, those used to be somewhat effective. But I think that the root problem is the homes. Somebody needs to go in these homes. That's where all of this is coming from. That's where it's coming from. It's coming out of people's houses and into the schools, into the streets. And then, you know, people are negatively impacted and affected by what's coming out of people's houses, so to speak.
Wait a minute now. I can't have you in my business now because the government ain't got no business in my business.
Cause and effect.
What do you say, 812?
Cause and effect. I'm back.
All right. Look, 812, I don't want y'all all in my business.
Oh, we going to give you your Kool-Aid like you're giving your sweetness.
Talking about coming to my house.
Yeah, we all drink Kool-Aid, baby. I don't, but everybody else does, some of them.
Well, now, here's the question then. If the school, if the judge, if the police, and if social workers don't have any place in saying anything to you, who would you listen to? Who has the authority? Help me out, Pastor Wallace. Who has the authority from heaven above to tell you
Hey, Doc, I'm hoping, brothers and sisters and ladies and gentlemen, that I don't unconfuse you. So we have a lot of keys in our communities that actually can turn the key to right. Okay, and they have. And it's really kind of it's almost like a double-edged sword. That's what's so scary.
Okay.
But you have to think about the Almighty being able to stronghold to take care of both of them, because we can't do it by ourselves. Okay, we understand that one thing for a fact, not an opinion. It's not an opinion that God will be there. No, it's a fact. Especially first, you have to honor Him. Then.
Okay.
It's things you have to do to be able to apply. And I understand that everyone understands the Bible. So the Lord will always show us, young or old, what's right or wrong, okay? It's certain things and certain buildings they won't talk about. So I understand, yes, the homes. But the question I wanted to know, sister, is how does the mess get into the home? So somebody has to pay for media.
Hold on one second. Wait a minute. I ain't gonna let y'all railroad me like that. I got a question on the floor. Let's answer that one first.
I do too.
And then we'll get to the next question. All right. So the question, did y'all remember what the question was?
Nope.
I'll come back to that one in just a minute.
Okay.
What are some things that we can do to clean up and throw out the trash? And it was related to who is it then that has the authority? The spiritual, the moral authority. Hold on one second, brother. Let me finish with that. The spiritual and moral authority to redirect the habits and the behaviors of people that are going to rape. That's the question right now.
May I say something, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
And when I'm done, Lewis would like to say something. He didn't want to speak tonight, but he asked me for the phone. But I have something to say about that. What are the things, was your question, that we can do to redirect?
Yes, ma'am.
Finish it for me, please.
Yeah, redirect the habits and behaviors of the people that are in the community that are going astray. And who has the authority to do so?
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, that's a big question. And I don't have the answer, but I can voice my opinion if I may.
Go ahead, right quickly, then we'll go to someone else.
Yeah, I know, sir. I know. It's more about the behavior, on the behavior part. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a preacher. I'm not none of that. I'm just little old me. It's big old world.
Yes, ma'am.
But my point
yes,
to you
ma'am.
Is,
yes, ma'am.
In a parent, you find yourself is everything is called a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It is a challenge called life.
Mm.
And what works for one don't always necessarily work for the other.
Okay.
And when we try to reach out to these children, the best thing I know to do is say, if you got a positive child out here striving to survive and do good, great things, some of them have fell short and lost their life because they're trying to do positive things. Some of them have fell short because they're doing bad things. We know this.
Okay.
However,
all right.
The other hand, I'm finna wrap this up real quick, and I'm going to hand the phone to Lewis if you don't mind, that...
Okay.
I know this from the bottom of my heart and depths of my soul. We cannot do anything, as that man said, without the good Lord having an upper hand. Because without Him, we are nothing. And without Him on our team, and you are a pastor, you know this, and Pastor Wise know this too. We've all made mistakes in life by choice. And some of them was because it chose what you chose to do. And however, when you give up and you get tired of fighting that battle and you turn it over to God, He will make you go through some things to make you understand. I'm not playing with you. If you want this, you're going to ask me for it. And I'm going to hand this over to the Lord. Now, y'all think about that for a moment.
Thank you, ma'am, for sharing that with us. Talk straight. Go ahead, Brother Lewis, right quickly.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Mighty fine.
Hey.
All right, so you say you want to clean up the neighborhood. I mean, when you're dealing with, when you say trash, you call it trash, man. You want to deal with criminals, you call the cops. Everybody is somebody to somebody. Like, I mean, nobody's without sin, so nobody should be throwing stones. But the thing about it all is you got to reach individual on an individual level. You got to level with people as people, first and foremost, no matter what they did. Everybody got a past. Everybody made mistakes. Nobody's perfect. The only way to correct that, if you want to correct it, is to reach out. You might be able to say something to that person that was considered trash to make him whole and for him to do the right thing. So, I mean, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing, I guess, with this podcast, because it could reach somebody that hasn't heard the knowledge that you're willing to share. So I'm saying, you know, just treat people with kindness and humanity, and I think it all follows suit if you lead by example.
Gotcha. I think Pastor Waller was going to comment on that. Go ahead, Pastor.
I'm here. Okay. You know, I've always been a person that would listen. That's how I got in trouble.
Hey, Pastor.
Because
I
was a good listener. Pastor. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hold on 1 second. I'm going to go right back to you. But we got a new caller from 847-5497. Stand by, caller. You're listening to Talk Straight. We're talking about how to clean up a community, throwing out the garbage. We'll be right back with you, okay? All right, Pastor.
Okay.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, Pastor Waller.
Yeah, okay. I was saying that I've always been a good listener.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I was able to understand or comprehend or not. But when I was able to comprehend,
mm-hmm.
I applied it in my life. So when
okay.
I found out the question that you asked about how do we clean up and what is the best route, and I think you was aiming toward the Word of God that's inside the most churches. And if we know what it says and apply what it says, then you can see the difference that it would make on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is this. The Word said it is not in man to direct his own steps.
Okay.
So if people are trusting themselves, then that's where all the difficulty is going to always come in at, because people that's in the church are trusting in themselves for the most part, for those who choose to do that. But there are some that refuse to trust in themselves when they learn that a person that trusts in his own heart is a fool.
Mm.
The one who walks wisely shall be delivered. That means that you're looking for guidance. So that's what I had to do. And I knew that once I found someone who knows best about me, I followed the guide. That's
okay.
where wisdom come in at. And see, the Word
okay.
said wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But in all of your getting, get understanding.
Mm.
So I understand that I was a fool for trusting me. So now... I go by day, making sure I don't trust me, and it don't have nothing to do with what I do good, bad, right or wrong in the sight of others. I just don't trust me. So I can follow someone that's a leader. You understand? Because you're going to either lead, follow, or you need to get out of the way. That's what I had to do. So I seen it.
Okay.
I seen I wasn't a good leader, so it was
right.
time for me to follow. You see?
Okay.
And now...
I guess.
I got it now. So, okay, now he's saying that you can go and lead people that's caught up in what you used to do. And it don't mean he's going to come out right now, but at least I do go out there and I share, you know, I speak it, I walk it, and then it's up to them to step up to it, you know, and ask questions.
So that's just the way it is, you know?
Okay.
It's just not
okay.
easy. It's not easy.
All right.
But there's a
right.
solution. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me go to a caller out of, I believe, Elgin, Illinois. 5497 is the last four digits. Welcome to Talk Straight. Question, comment?
Yes. You were talking about how to straighten up our social environment in the neighborhood.
Yes,
well,
sir.
I think.
Yes, sir.
Well, what I think is, you know what? Back in, I was born in the 70s, but back in the 60s,
okay.
the 50s, and the 40s, when they had so much stuff against us, we were more closer. When we had so many
yep.
obstacles Ooh. Against us, we were more closer with each other because we seen the danger. You know?
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of people say, well, it's the church's fault. It's not the church's fault because we are the church. The church is where you worship at. And most people think Most people think that, you know what, as long as I put on my Sunday best and go to church early in the morning and praise God on Sunday, it's good, and God, that blessing and everything is going to carry the whole week. You can't live like that. You have to live.
Amen.
You have to put your armor of God on you every single day. And the best way to fight an enemy is to know how an enemy works. You know, we let these laws and all these other stuff say you can't discipline a child. I remember back in the day when I was learning in school, I learned my timetables because some teacher had a stick. You know, we had more respect. We had more respect for the teacher. There was parents to us. You know, but now these kids, they want to be friends with their child, and you can't be friends with your child.
No.
Friends out on the street.
No.
You know? No. They got enough. So you're supposed to prepare them. You're supposed to prepare them how to be a righteous woman and a righteous man. This all stuff on TV is brainwashing us. They got all this stuff to brainwash us. So many leaders have died for us to be in the situation where we at right now. And you know what? What hurts me real bad is one thing, when I get on the bus, and then you know what? As soon as I get on the bus, these kids get on the bus, and you know exactly where they go to. They go exactly to the back of the bus, and they start acting like fools. Because you know what? Nobody takes the time to tell them, you know what, about their past and their history and stuff. They want to be friends and stuff. You know, you can't, you know, they don't have enough friends. You're supposed to prepare them spiritually, physically, and mentally for the battle of life that you're going to, that they're going to have to deal with.
And people
try to make it sound like it's all about black against white. You know what? It's not about black against white. The bad thing about it is it's black against black, because you know we've been so brainwashed with Willie Lynch that we don't know how to respect and love each other.
Okay.
You know,
right.
You deal with it. Okay, I'm going to leave it alone because I'm on a roll right now.
Man,
I'm getting
gave
high.
It up. Hey, brother, you
gave it up,
though. Tonight, man.
Him, cause he
gave it up, man. Hey, you told it through. You can't argue with that.
Yeah. All I needed was a necklace of water for a few minutes. I was about to keep on going.
Okay. we appreciate you bringing the fire tonight, man.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
You know, it hurts me.
Yeah.
It hurt me too bad.
Okay. Or 8112 is going to say something to you. Go ahead, 8112.
I said this young man, however young or old he is, he's not lying. He is telling the truth. As I know it, I'm not lying. And the reality of it all, it hurts me as well as it hurts him. And the point was, how do we get these kids back? It's not an easy task. He was not lying.
Right.
Appreciate everything everybody says. Don't treat them like those. Treat them like they're somebody's son, their brother, their sister, their and their uncle. Because when they die and fall off, we fall short as well as elderly, because not only are they killing our young generation off, they're cutting off the husband for our daughters.
Everything's
going on.
Wow.
And who are we as going to be elderly if Lord bless us and live and see it? We don't have nobody to serve us. Who
will help
you? You sitting and you done got older and you don't can't help. It's just like a baby going backwards.
All right. Go ahead, 30. I'm sorry. You finish 8112, and then we'll go to 3072. All right. Okay, go ahead, 3072. What are we going to say?
I was just going to revisit Adam's his thought, how he was saying a lot of the older people seem bitter. Well, the young man was just talking about the bus situation, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough to make you bitter. You don't know whether to run, whether to take cover, whether to do what when you see these young people out here now. That's enough to make you bitter. That's enough to kind of upset you and make you want to pull extension cord out and whoop somebody's hat.
We need to do that. That's what we need to start doing.
I mean, that's enough to make you bitter.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I grew up in the housing project in Chicago, and my aunt lived on the other side of town. Well, she came to visit us one time. My brother and I were walking up the street. We were excited about seeing her get off the bus. Do you know she went across the other side of the street when she saw it coming to her? And it wasn't until she got close enough. Oh, baby, I didn't know who y'all were. I didn't know what to do with y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't until she got close enough. Oh, baby, I didn't know who y'all were. I didn't know what to do with y'all.
Okay. Oh, that's a rebirth.
But
so in reality, we're in a situation where we do have to patiently and in a loving way approach this whole situation. Because I don't know where we're getting that, why we're getting that back though, rebirth there. Go ahead, Scott. Let me see if I can clear this up here.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear?
Yeah, go ahead.
What I like to always keep in mind.
By black people at home more than in school.
Somebody else talking.
Right now, okay. My best friend is in Chicago with Fred Hampton Jr. He's doing a documentary. Fred Hampton, the chairman of the Black Panthers. They're actually in Chicago right now.
My boy,
trying to make a museum out of the place where he was killed. The old head of the Black Panther Party. So it's like the thing about it is you got to reach the youth at home before you can't send them to school and expect them to learn about all this black history.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, right now it's August and they just starting school. It's a long time before February, the shortest month of the year, rolls around.
Yeah.
I mean, so when you talk about the black kids sitting in the back of the bus acting up, yes, it might be scary because these are the thugs, the young guys, the ones that's showing out. Somebody needs to step up and say, hey, do you know that black people was forced to sit in the back of the bus? Do you know this? Do you know that? Do you know this? Like, these things are things that anybody could do with the common sense and the knowledge of the past. So if you knew that this happened and you see these mistakes, like, you know, I mean, just say something. Treat these kids like they were one of your kids. Come at them like you would come at your own, not necessarily in a aggressive manner, but in a more so, hold on, let me correct this right now manner. Because if they never were told, how can you be mad at them for not knowing? A lack of knowledge is no excuse, but, I mean, I think if somebody opened their mouth and said something, it might change their outlook.
Okay. Yeah, well, I agree with you, but then again, too, that can be dangerous. I'm going to share a quick story. Last year I went to visit my father, and I had to take the Greyhound. God, I'd never do that again. Well, anyway, downtown Nashville was where the bus depot was, and downtown Nashville is rebooted. Now the bus station is somewhere else where you have a bunch of homeless people. You have the young people getting off the buses and stuff from school.
Yeah.
I was never so freaking afraid in my life. All these boys out here running around, darn near stepping on people, playing tag. You don't know if they're trying to snatch. You don't know what they're trying to do. Cursing.
Right.
One lady said something to them. They went to calling her all kind of B-I-T-C-H's. Just, it's sad. That's where bitterness comes from. That irritates me.
What's even more
really
dangerous? What's even more dangerous is if don't nobody say nothing or do anything. Imagine how many more of those guys are going. They're going to multiply like roaches do. Nobody's there to exterminate that. Nobody's there to tell them to stop. I can understand and respect your situation. I mean, you totally outnumber. I mean, the truth is enough.
Well, yeah, and I'll never
got
take Greyhound again.
Well, 10 adults standing up to these 10 kids telling them about the truth in their history and why they shouldn't act like that and why it's bad to pick guns up. I mean, you stand a better chance of not getting ran over. if you do it in numbers.
Louis, can I say something to you?
Yes, sir.
There is benefit in reaching out to the drug dealer, the hustler, the gangbanger, and letting them know that you have a voice of influence, and we need you to use that in a positive way.
Right.
Yeah. So all the little shorties that are out there off the chain, that can't nobody reach, I want you to go get them, sit them down, and then we'll talk to you and them, and then we'll bring everybody else. But if we are afraid to approach that, or we're unwilling to, now, we're not telling the drug dealer and the hustler and the gangbang, we want you to continue doing what you're doing. Our motive is to stop it. But we want you to understand that you have a powerful voice of influence. That's what Willie Hutch was talking about in the song and in the movie, The Mac. You know, we have to clean up. And it doesn't matter who it is. If it's me, I use myself as an example. If it's me, we've got to clean up the things that are harmful to us and throw them trash out.
So that's like Goldie's brother was doing. His brother went to him and said, "We need you to help push out all the drug pushers and the pimps and all that."
Can I also add this? So whether it's a single parent home or a two parent home, parents need to start back getting involved in their child's lives.
Absolutely.
Meaning you shouldn't keep just sending your child in and out of places, any and everywhere. You don't know what they're doing, who they're hanging with, how they acting.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be taught. They have to be taught socialization even. Hey, when you're around people, you don't run and trip and fall and play games to where you making somebody else uncomfortable or you crowding somebody else's space. Common sense stuff that you would think somebody would know, they not taught. They don't. It's just like a bunch of wild animals. That's sad to say, but that's the truth.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That's what the real
if you don't
is.
Train a domesticated cat or dog, he ultimately becomes a straight cat or dog.
All right, hold on one second, guys. I need to reclaim time, and we got 12 minutes, and I wanted to be fair to Brother Richard, who posed a question, and he was asking where did those things come from that caused our communities to be as they were. I want to respond to that. I do want to respond to that. The truth of the matter is the breakdown particularly, and I think the brother from Elgin kind of referred to it, the breakdown in the community comes from, as 3072 said, the breakdown in the family. And the breakdown in the family came from a loss of connectedness and sense of unity and thought and action. And what we are today is that we don't have an open channel of communication. Now, the police, the judge, the social services, the governor, none of them can make you do anything because you got constitutional rights. But the one place that has the moral and spiritual authority is the preacher in the church. The Bible says judgment began. One second. Judgment began in the house of God. Now, if we don't use that wisely, we can look for more communities to implode. Go ahead, Don, right quickly.
Where is it? I'm going to tell you what I'm experiencing right now. I got to be honest with everybody. Now, Ms. Docker, you know who I am, and I don't like to play. I know right now that the CIA, FBI is listening to us and interrupting as you talk and the machine coming back. Because guess what, Mr. Dockery? I get intelligence information. And let me be very clear with you. Those Negro, Black, and Coloreds that are part of the Democratic Party went and parted. Mr. LaRouche was out here giving out intelligence information. And Mr. Trump and Mr. Shelby went to the business meeting, and we didn't go to the business meeting. So economically, we was left out because we was partying. See, we don't want to admit that we've been drinking, partying, and clowning. And the good old boys that didn't win during the Civil War is economically benefiting. And they are tapping us right now, and we still out of the meeting economically. So how do we solve that problem?
Well, if they want to call, they can call 657-330-944, and I'll entertain any question or comment. FBI, CIA, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. One thing about it, I ain't lying, so I ain't scared to tell the truth. We talking straight tonight. That's where we are. But
we ain't benefiting economically.
Say that again.
I ain't say nothing.
We're not benefiting economically.
So
here it is. This is Brother Rich out of Nashville, Tennessee, and let me clear this up right quick. And I want to apologize to the young lady that came to Nashville and sat at the bus station and didn't quite. It wasn't a great visit, but definitely things will, you know, in the future will clear up. Now back to this. You know, as far as the, you know, the CIA and who all that right there,
network.
You know, watch this. So once again, and I'll go through it, and they know who I am. My name is Donald Richardson. I was and still am a cannabis activist here in Nashville, Tennessee. I've been a cannabis activist for the last 4 or 5 years. So I was asked by a lawyer, okay, I was sitting on West End, a restaurant called Fido, okay. Mr. Richardson, are you scared that you're being followed? Guess what I told him? No, because guess what? You know, when you have people that have talked in the community, like Malcolm X, that have said things like, when you tell the truth, you end up dying. See, I heard this young artist by the name of Drake say everybody wants to live, but nobody wants to die. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I respect so much as far as our black Democrats and our black Republicans, because really they are the ones that are actually trying to get us business. But here it is. The black Republicans and Democrats could work together. We could form our own, but here it is. Once again, even you have people that have degrees in coonery. So of course, you're going to have black folks that's willing to tell on another black person the same way they did Malcolm X and the same way they did Martin Luther King. Who killed Malcolm X? Yes, it was Caucasian-driven, but somebody black killed him.
All right, hello.
And add Fred Hampton, too. Put Fred Hampton in that.
Okay, listen, I got 7 minutes. And listen, that's gonna make a good show next Tuesday. I hope y'all come back, cause y'all hitting on some stuff that's interesting. I don't want to get lost in the weeds on that too much, because we're talking about cleaning up our commitment. No, it's okay. That's good conversation, man. It's great conversation. I appreciate it. I think all of it is relevant, and what Lewis said was so key. We don't teach the history of where we come from. We're doomed to repeat even the most negative aspects of it. So we do have to teach, Lewis, our young folks, our history, how we got where we are, and that in order for us to go further, we got to learn from that. So that's a powerful point. That's a powerful point. What I want to do is I want to give everybody a chance to have a final word. We got 6 minutes. I hate the time that got on us like this, man, but it has. And we will try to... Hold on 1 second. And we'll try to give everyone an opportunity to sound off before we leave. But we appreciate everybody for this conversation. Great conversation tonight.
You like it?
And I hope somebody gains from it. 5497. You there?
Yeah.
All right. Give me about 30 seconds of a final comment, and then we'll move on to our next caller. Bitch 497, you there? All right, let's keep it moving. Don, give me a final comment, sir.
Only thing I'm gonna say, we're doing a good job. We got their ears and their eyes open, but like I said, we have to stay focused. And the main issue, Mr. Dockery, is economics. And economics is family. So you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So it's economics.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Don, for joining us tonight. We appreciate you. All right, Brother Richardson, final call there. You're about 30 seconds.
All right, I always want to say thanks, Doc, for everything that you're doing. Another thing, please, I want to follow people. I don't want you to follow me. All I want you to do is click in, leave a message, okay, at DonRich_42. I'll follow you. I don't want you to follow me at all, because here it is. Everyone on this line right now, I consider as a teacher, and I'm still an entrepreneur, regardless of the charge. So please, please come and just DM me your information on Instagram, DonRich_42. Hey, I love y'all. There's nothing you can do about it, and I ain't taking it back. Love you too, Doc.
All right. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you joining us here tonight. Okay. 30
yes,
seconds to a final word right quickly.
I enjoyed the show, and kudos go to Lewis and Adam. Very well spoke words.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. And tell them not to work you so hard over there in Florida anymore. All right. Outcast, what about it, man? You've been quiet. You've been fun.
Who called my name? I'm still on here.
I forgot you,
you don't
baby.
Get her
just
name. You get me last. Get her now. Let 12 go.
Okay. Go ahead, Nathan. Go ahead, 112.
I love all y'all, but guess what? Y'all can't do it like him. When y'all get through shooting shots off about y'all stuff, he doing the doggone thing.
All right.
Proven past
the time. And tell Adam and the Lewis, we appreciate their contribution tonight.
Okay,
oh,
he'll move next time. He ain't gonna let him play no more.
All right. Okay then. Outcast, go ahead, sir.
Okay, history is fine, but when you're teaching that history, be careful how you teach that history, because you will end up messing up a mind the way that mind gets radicalized and then want to go out and kill up white people. The main point is this. You watch everybody, red, white, blue, and green. And I've always stated this, and it's been stated again. I'm not worried about the white man killing me. I'm worried about my own color killing me, and I'll hold right
I
there.
See.
Dangerous,
I
man.
See. All right. Well, we appreciate you being with us tonight, here on Talk Straight. Man, I tell you, listen, y'all just getting fired up. We have to time to run out on us. Okay. Appreciate you. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Pastor Wilder, give us a final thought, man, before we get out of here, and then we'll take it on.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody had a chance to talk, listen. But most of all, when the word says, when there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, there he said he would be in the midst of us, and that's the only time that it's going to work. School is always in session, and I like to say that because it's nothing like being schooled, a person who's willing to learn. And if it wasn't like that, he wouldn't have said in the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, states it so very clear. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. If we're not learning of him, we're just talking loud and saying nothing.
Mm.
Keep him first, and everything else will fall in place.
Wow. Okay.
According to the word now.
All right. Well, we appreciate that, Brother Pastor. And time has gotten away from us here. Listen, we'll be back next Tuesday. we'll be back next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight. www.bfcinstitute.com is the website to learn more about what we're doing and the sponsor of the show. This is your host, Reverend Docker. We've been grateful to have you guys join us and look forward to even more conversation. And I do look forward to picking back up our traveling series sometime after November, perhaps. But we're grateful that you've joined us tonight, and we appreciate you all. Pastor Wilder, we appreciate you, as always, for coming in and... Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And with that, we're gonna get ready to segue out here with Change Gonna Come.